My assistant, Molly, will be asking me questions that I have never heard of before. We did an Instagram Q&A box, and Molly has loads of questions that are supposedly juicy. So enjoy this episode and let's get right into it.
So, first question, we're going in easy. Why do you live part-time in Bahamas and London?
My living situation is definitely a curiosity point for a lot of people. Not many people live between a random island in the Bahamas and London. So London, I'll respond to this one first. It's always been a dream for me to have a home in London, in this area. It's always been something that I only ever dreamt of back in the day. And when I was able to, you know, actually invest the money and buy a property here 6 months ago, it just made a lot of sense for us to spend as much time as possible in the year in London now. So I used to live in London, for many of you guys that don't know, full time for almost 5 years in my early 20s. And then 3.5 years ago, Ben and I moved to the Bahamas. We moved, you know, really at the beginning of COVID. And I guess the inspiration came from me starting my first subscription business and believing in it so much, almost delusionally, that I decided to move somewhere tax-free before even making enough money for that to make sense. So this is literally like my life. Like, I believe in myself so much, and I had done all of that work and practiced what I preached and acted as if and truly made decisions based off of what I expected my future to be like. So the move to the Bahamas 3.5 years ago, and we had been living there full time over the past, you know, 3 years until we bought this place. But that really came from wanting to save money on taxes, because the Bahamas is legally like a zero income tax country, and my business is set up there, and we live there for most of the year. So it's been a big investment into our lifestyles, because all the money that we earn, we keep for ourselves. And it's also been the reason why, you know, there's no way I've needed to raise money for Superhuman. And it's why I live the life I do today, because, you know, 50% of my money doesn't go to taxes. So the reason that we're in the Bahamas is because we love having a part of our lives that is a lot more relaxing and calm and embedded into nature. And then the reason we have a place in London is because I also love that city part of me. I love this city. London is my favorite city in the world, like, full stop. I'll be British and say full stop. And I see myself spending more and more time here. It invigorates me. It makes me feel on top of the world. It's also the location where I changed my life the most in my early 20s. Mm-hmm. It is where I found myself over and over again. It's where I came after I left Canada for the first time. And it's where I, you know, reinvented myself. So there's a special energy about London to me, and that's why I'm spending now 4 months a year here.
Amazing. Okay, well, with that, let's jump into question two. So how do you think your relationship with your body affects your success and wealth?
Your relationship with your body influences success and wealth immensely, and this is something that most people don't think are tied together. But when you are physically feeling good about yourself and you're in this energy of just self-love and abundance within yourself, not even money abundance, but just an abundance in your happiness levels in life, an abundance of love towards yourself, everything changes. So one area of your life being positive is influenced by every other area of your life. So to create more success and wealth and happiness in your life, if you every single day in the back of your mind are feeling unworthy and not feeling good in your body, it's going to hinder that success and wealth. I am a firm believer that your energy creates your life. And if you are feeling insecure and you are limiting yourself by dieting and thinking about how terrible you look in this old pair of jeans that doesn't fit you anymore, and you are consumed with this mental thought pattern of not being enough, that's going to show up in your finances, that's going to show up in your business, and you're not going to be able to get to the next level without fixing that first.
Absolutely, absolutely. So moving on to question three, is there anything that was a dream possession but you now regret buying?
A dream possession that I now regret buying? Yeah, I guess so, actually. before I had any money, I always thought, oh my gosh, all the handbags I could have. Can you imagine just going to Chanel or like a Bottega and just buying whatever handbag you want? And that was a really, like, that was one, I don't feel like I'm too materialistic, actually. Mm-hmm. Funny enough, like, I like nice things, and everyone I think would think that I'm a bit more materialistic than I am, but I really don't now put as much value onto physical things. So I would say handbags. I have too many Bottega Veneta handbags that I don't wear. So I would say handbags I've actually spent a bit too much money on. Like, especially there are certain ones that are a little bit trendy, and like now I don't buy anything trendy. So mm-hmm. even the Bottega Jody bag, mm-hmm. Not even the mini Jody, but just like the teen Jody, that is not, I don't think, as trendy as the mini Jody was, but like I have one and I don't really wear it that often, really at all, because it's kind of become trendy. So I think that would be one. And another one that's actually funny that you ask, I'm wearing it today. So a few years ago, as like a, you know, big accomplishment, I've always had this Rolex on my vision board, and I always thought, oh my gosh, like I'll have a Rolex one day. I literally, it's such a coincidence I'm wearing it today. I never wear it, ever. Ever, ever, ever. I don't know why I'm wearing it today, because I was like, oh, I'll get all cute for filming. But honestly, I never wear it. I wear it maybe once every 2 months. And like, I just don't really wear it. I'm also not that into gold anymore these days. Mm-hmm. I'm not wearing gold earrings. I'm way more into silver. So I just don't wear it as much. So I wouldn't say I regret it, because it reminds me of a time mm-hmm. where I was like so excited I could afford my first Rolex. It's more of like a memory.
Do you ever still experience like guilt when you buy something expensive?
Yeah, not often. And I'll check myself when I notice that I have that guilt. I'll check myself and I will consciously, and I literally did it yesterday, and consciously I will be like, whoa, why did I just spend that much money? Mm-hmm. And, or consciously I'll hear those thoughts, and then I'll say to myself, be in an abundant mindset. I can afford it. Mm-hmm. I can afford it. I can afford it. And, you know, I can go to the fancy beauty place and get, you know, the fancy facials. Because for me, what I do spend money on is like beauty stuff. And I love a facial, and I love massages, and I love, you know, I go to the chiropractor, acupuncture, cupping, like 2 massages a week. Like, I love my treatments. That is what I would splurge on. And then the other day, I was thinking like, you know, okay, I got like a beauty treatment. It was like £1,000. And I'm just like, oh my God, that's so much money. And it is so much money. But then I also think to myself, okay, but I need to be able to do those types of things for myself. That is a form of my self-care, and I can afford it. I'm not going out and spending £1,000 on dinner every night. Like, I'm not doing a lot of things that people my age would do with money. And what I do spend on is, you know, having a beautiful, luxurious environment, treating myself to treatments, helping the people in my life. Like, I do things in my own way. So I do deal with guilt and regret sometimes, but then I don't feel like I should, because I'm way more frugal than I am an overspender, I think. All right, let's take a quick break, because I need to tell you something that I've been freaking out over. I realized after reading a few articles online and speaking to my friend who is a doctor, I realized that most plant-based protein powders have a ton of heavy metals in them. And after I found this out, I started to freak out a little bit, because you guys know I'm very health conscious and I don't like whey protein powder. It's just not my vibe. I'm not a whey girly. I am a plant-based protein girl for life. And I've tried many plant-based proteins. I've spoken to you about my favorite ones in the past, but I've realized after more research that there aren't many that actually prioritize reducing the heavy metal load in their protein powder. And especially with plant-based protein, if you've heard the podcast that I recently did with Rituals founder Kat, she talks about this exact thing. Not much plant-based protein goes through testing for heavy metals, and there are alarming amounts in a lot of these well-known brands. And because heavy metals are not one of those things you can easily detox from, I really wanted to find a protein that I wouldn't feel guilty about and scared about the metal content in, essentially. So I am super excited to share with you that I found one that is insanely delicious, that does not have that chalky taste that a lot of protein powders have.
It also doesn't have any sugar in it. It doesn't have any sugar alcohols. It doesn't even have stevia. And I don't really think there's much wrong with stevia, but I have it a lot. Like, I have a lot of stevia, I find. So having my protein powder just be sugar-free and like a lot more natural was something that was important to me. I also really, really wanted to make sure this protein powder that I was going to switch to was third-party tested. So what I'm trying to get to is the Ritual protein powder has been my go-to since discovering the whole heavy metal thing and worrying about that. And I've been actually using this for the past 6 months. And then I decided, okay, I need to work with Ritual because this is my new favorite protein powder. You guys know I eat protein powder pretty much with every breakfast. Like, I love having a smoothie in the morning, or I'll have a shake post-workout. I just think it's such an easy way to get my protein in, and I am working out a ton at the moment. I have my trainer 4 days a week, and I just feel like I really need something satiating, you know, every day for breakfast. So protein powder has been a big thing for me, and I just really wanted to find one that I felt really good about, that tasted really good. So the Ritual one is definitely one that you must try. And I'm telling you this right now, even though they are a sponsor of the podcast, I tried this for 6 months before we started working together, and it is genuinely the best vegan, plant-based, healthy protein powder I have ever tasted. I genuinely am obsessed with it, and I can tell you right now, it is truly in a league of its own, the Ritual Essential Protein Daily Shake. It is clean, it is sugar-free, and it tastes like a delicious vanilla treat. I have mine with frozen blueberries, half a frozen banana, some ice, some spinach, water, and the protein, and it is my daily breakfast. It is so freaking good, and I know that it's full of so many nutrients. Ritual does it right. If you listen to the podcast I did with Kat, the founder of Ritual, you can literally hear in her voice that she is obsessed with quality. She is a qualitarian like we are, and you can really, really trust that her products have the best ingredients when you meet someone like her. So finally, you guys, we have a clean, traceable plant-based protein that is low in heavy metals and has 20 grams of protein to help you form that lean muscle mass and support your recovery after a workout. There is no sugar, and you wouldn't actually know that there's no sugar because this shake tastes amazing and beautifully sweet. I don't know how they do it, but they do. This shake has your complete amino acid profile in it. It is vegan, soy-free, gluten-free, and formulated without any GMOs. High quality, third-party tested, the best on the market, and I can say that confidently. I have had many other protein powders that I've promoted in the past, but I'm being completely honest right now. I don't really do a lot of promotions anymore. I'm not really an influencer anymore. My business is my main focus, and I do not do ads often. You guys know that, so you can trust that I'm being genuinely serious. I have found the one for me, and I will buy this protein with my own money even if I stop working with Ritual. It is damn good, and it just tastes like heaven, and the quality of the ingredients are exceptional. Trust me, once you try the essential protein from Ritual, you will not want to go a day without it. I am addicted. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/Mimi. Start Ritual or add the essential protein to your subscription today. That is ritual.com/Mimi for 25% off. And while you're at it, get the multivitamin too. That one is game changing. All right, let's get back to the episode.
What has and hasn't reached your expectations after becoming your future self? Has anything surprised you?
So what we were just talking about just now, about me not purchasing as much as I could, that surprises me. Mm-hmm. I feel like I am my future self right now, but that being said, I don't feel like I've reached a destination. And I've said this from the beginning, even when you achieve the next level version of yourself, you still need to have aspirations and goals and an idea in your mind of a better future. As human beings, we are goal-seeking creatures. We need to have ambition and goals because it keeps us alive. It makes us move towards something. So I still believe there are future self versions of me. And I know it for a fact. I am nowhere near the success and impact and life that I want in my future. I'm nowhere near that. I've definitely changed an immense amount since I've started, you know, 8 years ago from having 8 pounds in my bank account 8 years ago, 8 pounds. It was 8 years ago because I was, it was 2016. So 8 years ago, having 8 pounds in my bank account to now having the business I've created today, having the life I've created today, you know, that shift is monumental in itself. But from where I am now to where I'm going to be is even bigger. So to answer your question though, what has surprised me since becoming this next version of my future self? Because the Mimi today was the Mimi that I had visualized and dreamt of, you know, 5, even 4 years ago. So the thing that has shocked me is that I wouldn't be spending as much as I initially thought I would. Another thing that has shocked me is that this is gonna sound ridiculous and please, you know, don't judge me, but earning 6 figures a month is not as much as I thought it was.
Really?
Yeah, it's not, because, you know, and my expenses are huge, mm-hmm. and you know that, with like, well, the superhuman expenses are huge, but then my living expenses are also huge, because the more money you make, the more that you spend, and the more your monthly costs are, like even just like the mortgage for this place is crazy. Like, I didn't have expenses like that. I didn't have a standard of traveling business or first back then. Mm-hmm. So I'm spending a lot more now. And I used to think, let's say with like 100K a month, I would be able to do anything. But no, like things go places. Like mm-hmm. I want to put money in investments. I need to help people out. I need to do this. I lose money by certain investments. Like, you know, mm-hmm. we've worked with agencies that don't end up doing the thing we want them to do. A lot of superhuman investments that I make, like I'm very, you know, open to investing into new things with superhuman. So I hire a lot of people and I invest in a lot of softwares for the business. And, you know, there are a lot of things that cost a lot. So another thing that surprised me is that 100K a month in my mind when I was 20 years old felt like the most amount of money in the world. But now I'm like really excited to get to the next level because I feel like I could do so much more. It feels still limiting to me. So that's a realization. But then yet I could say that is me just, you know, humans just wanting more once they get to every goal. So I think that if I didn't have as many overheads, it'd feel a lot better. But I have high standards now. Like I need to have a certain amount in my savings I need to have, like, so I don't feel comfortable overspending yet because I'm so far from where I want to be. But another thing that surprised me is that I would still deal with my old self thinking a lot.
Really?
Yeah. The thing is, I bounce back quickly now, mm-hmm. but I still experience her every day, but I bounce back really quickly. So I still have to do the work mm-hmm. to get me to that mindset that I need to be in. Even once I've achieved being here, like it still requires doing work every single day. It requires, you know, priming your mind, activating. It requires like me visualizing who I want to be and being her. Even visualizing the future self that I am today, but I often don't remember it. Like things, you get used to things once you get to that next level. And I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting me to be so grateful and so happy every day for this life I've created. I have to work to get to that place, which is really surprising.
Yeah.
I still come face to face with my like old self, like the negative thinking Mimi who's insecure, who doesn't think she's good enough, who doesn't think she's done enough every day. I romanticized what it would be like a lot, but the thing is, it can be like that. I just have to keep doing the work.
Yeah.
Because the days that I'm doing the work, like even now, just now before we were filming, I just did an activation upstairs. I did like a 25-minute seated one, which is like what I do when I need to get into the zone. And I feel like my future self right now, I feel like her because I did the work. But this morning before, I didn't feel like her. You have to remind yourself mm-hmm. every day.
That's true. I feel like when you stepped through that door and then came back through again after your activation, your whole like energy just changed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool that you noticed that.
Yeah. Should we go to the next question?
Sure.
Right. So, okay. When is your book coming?
So, I actually haven't told anyone this yet. I've been waiting for Kate, my book agent, to get back to me about when I can actually reveal what's happening with the book. But long story short, you guys, I got a book deal. And this was something that I was, you know, trying to create for a long time, trying to manifest for a long time. And in October, which I mentioned it maybe in an Instagram caption, but I got a book deal with one of the biggest publishers in the world, and it was for way more than I was expecting, and it's a global book deal, and I'll tell you which publisher it is. You'll definitely know it in the next few weeks or month, whenever I can. But this was something, one of the bigger manifestations that I've achieved over the past few months or a year even. And I'm extremely excited and proud, but the book will be coming out spring 2025. So I'm super excited, and it's all about the bounce back rate, and it is all about becoming the version of you that you need to become to live the best life possible, the potential life, your ultimate potential.
That's so exciting.
I'm really excited.
Lots of work before then.
A lot of work. But you know what? Honestly, I'm so not nervous. I know I need to get into my mode. Like, I'm not nervous about things anymore. We were talking about this earlier. I don't get nervous anymore. Like, I really don't, because I think I've gotten to a place where I put myself into uncomfortable positions so often that feeling of nervousness, like over time, because it's like comes with practice, like it just, I'm numb to it now. Mm-hmm. That being said, I feel like if I was about to step on a stage and do a speech in front of 100,000 people, I probably would be nervous, but I've never done that before. Mm-hmm. But the more I would do that, the less nervous I'd be. So, but with the book, I've written a lot, and I have the whole outline, and I have the, you know, the core skeleton done, which is the hardest part in my opinion. So definitely. I think from here, it's easy breezing.
All right, part one is done, but just you wait. We have part two, where I answer so many more personal, deep, and kind of juicy questions. So head over to part two on the podcast, and you can listen to the second half of this Q&A that I recorded with my assistant. Thanks for listening.